My vision for Malawi is Malawi where men and women live in peace and in harmony as equals, enjoying their human rights. I have a dream for Malawi that is poverty-free, and I intend to eradicate poverty through economic growth and wealth creation. Over the past 9 months, I sincerely believe that we have demonstrated to all well-wishing people in Malawi that we are serious and we have taken the path to recover. So for me, Malawi must be a country where there's no poverty. It's a tall order, but it's our goal.
Now, Madam President, what is your administration doing to resuscitate the economy?
What we have done, let me just give you a picture of the situation as it was on the 7th of April last week. This was a country that had gone off track since I moved. A country where there was no forex. The forex that was there had gone underground, so it was on the black market. It was not in the formal commercial bank. This was a country where there was no forex, no fuel. This was a country where there were no drugs in hospitals. Women were dying because they couldn't be referred to central hospitals because of there were no fuel. Hardships at grassroots were that women could not go to grinding mills because mills need fuel to grind maize. So this was a country that, for me, was literally bankrupt. An economy that had been destroyed through mismanagement and corruption. So what we did when we got in, today I'm an ordinary person, and as you know the history, I've completely been sidelined. Yes. The next day, I'm president of this country. I had to do two things. On the political scene, I had to make sure that everybody must reconcile. It was a country where everybody was angry, people were frustrated, desperate, and it was a country where everybody was closer to everybody else. Literally, the president had been given 6 days in which I quite friend on whether Malawi wanted him to continue or to resign. I therefore had to bring everybody to the table. I made a statement for everybody to forgive each other. And then to demonstrate that, I formed an all-inclusive cabinet so that Malawians can see that I am serious when I say I will work even with those that persecuted me. You will recall that what I went through in the 2 years. In fact, there was even an assassination attempt on my life during that period. I needed to work with the same people in order to demonstrate to Malawians that I can rise above personal feelings. Or can rise above my own selfish feeling and the think of Malawian self. On the economic scene, we had to quickly do several things. One was to go back on track. In order to do that, we needed to devalue our culture by almost 50%. And I went to our donors, particularly the IMF. The IMF needed to provide the level of comfort. Once that happened, it brought our donors back. I needed to repair our relationship with our donors. I needed to ensure that those donors that had came back with support, financial support to Malawi in order for us to begin the road to recovery. So having done that, in a short time, within the first 100 days of my stay in office, the situation changed. The letter of comfort was received from IMF. The kwacha was devalued. The donors were back. Our relations with our neighbors had improved. Now, then I organized a national dialogue on the economy to go and look at the Malawi growth and development strategy. When you take over from a president and you finish his term, you don't have the luxury to draw up your own strategy within the remaining of the term. Therefore, we had to look at the Malawi growth and development strategy that had been drawn. And out of the 9 priority areas that the Malawi had drawn, that had gone halfway and had not been included, we tried to And five sectors, namely energy, mining, tourism, agriculture, and the infrastructure. We picked those because of the potential they have to create wealth and to create benefits. I am saying Malawi, we must eradicate poverty through the creation of wealth and through job creation. So we looked at these five sectors because of the potential they have to create wealth and to create jobs. After that, we went back and we have further said that within those five sectors, end of 2013, going to the elections 2014, I must look Malawi in the face and show three projects per sector. Malawians must realize and must be satisfied that we are serious with the economic recovery plan that we drew and that there are signs that we are recovering those. I believe that we can recover our economy by creating programs, particularly at grassroots level, that bring money into the household. In order to achieve this, we've done a few things under the sector of agriculture. One, that we have encouraged, I have formed what I call the Presidential Initiative on Poverty and Hunger Reduction, where we are mobilizing women and youth to grow crops that have export potential, that brings cash into the pockets of the people, that takes into my home. Number two is to ensure, is to introduce a new program where we are saying Malawi and for now and forever, Malawi must grow two crops a year. So that policy has been announced, and we are busy looking at how we are going to grow the next crop in April. We believe that doing this, giving good prices to the people and ensuring they have access to market, we will begin to solve the problem of dependency on tobacco and the scaling of crops and the restriction will mean a better life for our rural people. So that is the medium and long-term plan that we have made. But I finally went to the IMF and asked them, the World Bank, and asked them to provide resources in order for us to implement public works programs, cash transfer programs, school feeding programs to ensure that we take care of the shock of the devaluation of the kwacha. Because of the impact of the devaluation, we knew that the rural masses would go through a very difficult time. Thank God that the majority of Malawians understand that in order for us to get to a better place, we need to swallow this bitter pill. But we also must be responsible government to ensure that the rural masses are not suffering and misery. So therefore, we are just implementing since October public works, cash transfer programs. We are rolling that out countrywide. School feeding programs in order that our rural masses don't suffer unnecessarily.
Well, Madam President, talking about the declaration of financial assets, what is your stance on that?
My assets? Presidential personal assets?
Yes, declaration of financial assets. Yes, your financial assets, yes.
Oh, I see. The law in Malawi says that when you enter a public office, you must declare what you have. And by law, you are required to do that. And that's exactly what I have done. When I entered public office, what that means is that when you exit public office, in whatever at whatever position, this country must hold me accountable for what I have amassed from the day I declared my first asset to the day that I exit public office. Now, I declared my assets when I entered public office. Now, what my lawyers are saying, that's what the law requires me to do. Now, where it comes from that because I'm president of this country, I'm therefore going to be victimized and declare my assets every month or when it suits any group of people, that is not in the law. And that is the argument which my lawyers have. But it's not necessary. But I want to know that I'm the first to respect the law. And I have said to anybody, they can come and take whatever house. In any case, I don't have much, because it is not necessary for me to amass wealth for what. But for me, I must follow the law. And the law says, at entry into public office, I must declare, which I do. At the exit, I must declare and you must see what I amassed to be with.
Now, Madam President, the issue of presidential jet and the ministerial cars, what are you doing about these, since you promised Malawians?
I promised not only Malawi, I promised the world. For me, I want first to say that selling the presidential jet is not, I mean, having a presidential jet available to me is not a luxury. It takes me 3 days to go out to Mozambique to have a meeting with my brother, Ibusa. It takes me 3 days. I have to go to South Africa and then Mozambique. I have to go to South Africa and then Zambia. So it takes me 3 days, 4 days to just make that one trip to go for 1 hour's meeting. So it's not a luxury, but I was convinced. I have convinced myself that I need to make that a sacrifice for the benefit of Malawians. Therefore, the presidential jet must be sold. I made that announcement that we will sell presidential jet. I don't know if you know this, but a survey that was conducted in Malawi, 75% of the people rejected my bid to sell the plane. They said, once we already acquired it, there's no reason why we should sell it. In any case, it is an asset that belongs to Malawians. When I got that information, I have insisted that if Malawians don't want to sell the plane, that I shall never use it. I shall never use it because morally I think it is wrong. So therefore, the plane must be sold. So I took the matter now to cabinet. The cabinet discussed it and agreed that yes, we must sell it. So right now, what the office of the president cabinet is doing, as cabinet, they set up a special committee to find a buyer for the plane. It is not as simple as I thought it would be. You can't just walk in the street and sell a whole plane. I checked today when I saw your questions. I checked with the chief secretary to say where are we as far as selling the presidential jet is concerned, and they have told me that they have got one serious buyer that wants to buy the plane. My argument has been that the law of Malawi requires that you must find more than one person, more than one bidder. And then it must go to the office of the public procurement. And that is the process that is done. Once a decision is made by me to sell the plane, I'm not the one who's literally carrying the plane on my plate. So it must be that process that is taking place. But I just want to assure you that that matter left my hands. I don't even remember we have a plane. I don't even know where they have kept it. And the process is going on. And I'm told that they have one serious buyer that they have found. They are looking for two or three, because that's what the law requires here. So I want to assure you, I will never, ever use that plane. Because as long as Malawians are in misfortune there, that they are in now, I must be the first person to show that I can make the sacrifice of going without a plane. And you don't know what it means for me to travel to Europe, to travel to Asia on duty without having access to a plane. But I am saying it is a necessary sacrifice for me as head of state to make, especially looking at the situation that Malawi is in.
Now, Madam President, the size of the motor convoy or motorcade in the country has been, you know, people have talked about it. What is your view about that?
The size of the motorcade, do you know? I really don't know the adjective that they use, because the previous president had 10, 15, 20, 25 cars on the convoy. In my particular case, when I came in, I didn't even need to be told by anybody. I decided I was going to reduce the size of the motorcade. There were always 12 motorbikes visible in front of the presidential vehicle. I reduced the 12 to 5. So by less than than half. And then the cars, I reduced them because I am informed that I must have two cars, one that I'm using, the other one spare in case anything happens on the road. The rest of them are security cars. So here locally, you are in America, but those that are here, when this comes out, they have even asked on my behalf, point out at the car that you want taken away from the convoy. That is there, that is unnecessary. I don't understand how anybody would think that I would enjoy having 50, 20, 25 cars just following me around unnecessarily. So what we have done, what I have done is I've reduced all that I could reduce. My security has told me that I also need to be careful that I don't compromise my security. But I just thought that I should also add it. What people are saying in Malawi is that the president told have had a grand convoy. Even when we have more serious economic problems than we have now, during the present Muruzi's era, where interest rates went up to 60%. So we are not there yet. Even during President Bingham Taliba, that's when there were maybe 25 cars. And everybody knows. The question women and men are asking, why must it be different when it is a woman? But this woman, Joyce Banda, has said, no, it is necessary for us to take this austerity measure. But I must also be allowed to maintain some kind of dignity. Because at the rate we are going, I am going to be asked to walk. I have two cars, so now I don't know whether they want me to take out the one car. And then when I have a flat tire on the road, I stand by the road while they are pumping, while they are fixing the car. I don't know whether that's the route we want to go. Women are worried about, even the grassroots, is that then the man will become president and bring all those, and nobody will even object. And then people will say, well, when it is a woman, it's a little president. When it's a man, it's a grand win. So I have to strike a balance. But I really don't know if I can take out one car and leave myself with one car and then take the risk of sleeping on the road and then compromise my security. But I've reduced as much as I can. And I think for the purpose of those that don't live in Malawi, my imagination should be that I have remained with such a thing of what it should be.
Now, Madam President, last but not the least question, what should Malawians expect in this new year under your administration?
What Malawians should expect is that as Malawians are unique as a country in the sense that our strength and our special gift are the people of Malawi. The people of Malawi are warm, the people of Malawi are generous, but the people of Malawi are hardworking, and the people of Malawi are God-fearing. And because of that, it is those of us in leadership that must work tooth and nail to give them the opportunities that they require, because they know exactly what to do to move from where they are to a better place. What has been lacking hitherto are the opportunities. Now, what they should expect now is that this president will work towards motivating them. This president will work towards giving them hope. But this president will move beyond just talking and provide those opportunities. We have started this year. When I say I want money into the household of rural people, they must grow crops that have extra potential by distributing seeds countrywide. So we pray to God that we should have a good crop. Malawians must look forward to a better future. They are going to have a better future because all we need is a good crop, a second crop, as I have declared. And all the programs that we have put in place, and then us as government concentrating on the economic recovery, the mining sector come up with mines, the Ministry of Trade come up with the business opportunities. But I'm also concentrating on the improving our ranking on the World Bank ranking as a destination for doing business. So Malawians should know that once our ranking improves, it will attract investment. And when investment comes, we will create jobs. And that, we are just a crossroads. 6 months from now, Malawians will realize that we are on the road to complete recovery and prosperity.